Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning will be John chapter 2. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. We pray. Lord God, you knew what was to happen. You knew why you were there. Lord God, you showed up in a big way. Lord God, each and every one of us here is hoping that you show up when called. Lord God, help us and teach us, Lord, when you guide us, that Lord God, no matter whether we see you or not, whether we feel you or not, Lord God, you always show up. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. So if you could get to the back of your worship bulletin, there you will find John chapter 2. We're going to go over two things, and I got 2 points this morning, just two things to talk about. Really hit them hard and ask that any questions you have, you know, ask for the service, great, because this is one of the weirdest texts we have simply because it doesn't have a lot of things in it that really give us background. Why was Jesus really there? Why was Mary in charge? Why did Mary talk to her son like that? I don't know. There's so many things that you could go on and on. And like, Jesus, I would really like to know what was going on during this time. You know, how you're winking at your mom, like, no problem. But there's so many things here that you know, we know the context of a wedding. But still, there are so many things that Lord God, we need to dive into here. And so the first thing we want to look at is a wedding, okay? Dads who have unmarried daughters, you think that weddings cost a lot of money today? I mean, that's one night, right? You get married 3 o'clock, and by midnight, you wrap the thing up, and it costs a pretty penny. Problem is that back then, their weddings could last an entire week. Who wants to get married next, right? And so it's amazing that during out this entire time, if you were getting married and you invite these guests, that means that you're accountable for providing them with food and beverage. And so that adds up. And so here we see Jesus, and he's been invited to this wedding. And there's a small problem. We see in our text as we read verse 3, when the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." Everyone know what that really means? Every time I look at a commentator, they have no clue either. And so we take a look at this, and my first point this morning, they have no wine. That means the party's over. That means everyone goes home. That means everyone's safe to walk home. But in that day, it was a small misfortune. It was something where, oh man, if this happens to us on our first week that we're married, what else is going to be in store for us throughout our marriage? And so to run out of wine especially was a little crazy. But this is even, Jesus said to her, let's read this together. "Woman, as if to say, Mom, it's only wine. Number one, what did she know? Mary, what did you know? What had happened raising this child that was so different that she goes to him and says, "Excuse me, they're out of wine." Kind of looking at him like, I don't know if he's done this before, like brought, mom brings water to the dinner table and all of a sudden it's the best food in the world that they share? Did she understand who he was? Did he expect him to go outside and get a bunch of people together and go throughout the town and collect everybody's wine so that this couple could be blessed? We don't know. But at the same time, it's interesting that Jesus just plainly looks at her and says, it's only wine. It's only wine. It's fine. And so Mary kind of looks at him and says, you're going to do what you need to do. So, guys, whatever he says, just do it. And so they don't wonder. Some people speculate that the servants are also like his first, second, and third cousins because they're all interrelated at this party. And so interesting enough is Mary knew something here, and she did something about it. Mary knew something about Jesus, and she comes to him knowing full well that he alone could do something about it. But after all this happens of taking the water, presenting it, all of a sudden you take that glass. Point two is this. And this is the point we really want to draw out. And I've actually never really heard anyone dive into this aspect of this story. Let's read this together. When the master of the feast tasted the water now become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the bridegroom called the bridegroom. Look at the parentheses for me. Whether they're related or not, whether they knew Jesus growing up or not, here's what I want to ask you. What did that mean for that servant or family member who knew what was to happen here, where they drew it out and he knows? He has firsthand knowledge of what is happening. And they take it to the master of the feast and said, here, taste this. He says, this is the best wine I've ever tasted. Where did this come from? And the guy right there just starts chuckling. I know. That was amazing. All I did was fill it up with water, I swear. That well is just water. It's not a secret vineyard. It's just water. And so the amazing thing is that guy had taken all the water, taken it there, and he knew. He saw the cup, and he saw him taste it. He saw the whole thing. Question is, what does he do afterwards? We don't know. The question is, what does a servant do afterwards? We can speculate, what does the servant do with what he knows? And so this morning, here today, we can speculate all we want. Does it really matter what he did that we don't know? Does it really matter that we can speculate for all our entire life? Or the thing to catch here in this story is this guy who knew what had happened, can he contain the story? Guys, I was at a wedding last week. You would not believe it. I just took some ordinary water. It's probably pretty stale. I took this water, and this guy changed it into wine. It was amazing stuff. And the whole thing never ran out. You could probably go and get some right now. You should taste it. So the question is, does a servant withhold what he knows? This morning, we can see the letters on the wall. They've always been there. Go disciple all nations. And our vision statement, how we are going to do that. Literally, the idea of sharing Christ, changing lives, quite literally, telling his story through your story, how he's changed your life, and telling that to others. Can we as servants withhold what we have, what we've seen, what we know, what we've learned. Because I don't want this to be the end of our story. I want what we know to be shared with others. And just like Mary, to be able to say, Jesus, I know it's only wine. I know it's only my family. I know it's my job. I know it's someone I don't know clear across the world that I'm going to pray for, which you have implanted in my head. But Lord God, I'm going to ask you, because that's what you beg me to do, because you want to invite me into this connection that I don't totally understand, and yet you draw out in me this trust and this confidence that I don't know if I have right now. But wherever you will guide me, I know it'll be a better place than where I am right now. So as servants today, what do you do with what you know? We pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, what a beautiful thing it would have been just to be there and just see the cup that has passed. Lord God, help us each and every day. Strengthen us through the cup that we share so that we may be a little more bold in what we know to a world that isn't so confident in you. In your son's name we pray. Amen.